Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's a Wednesday. It means it's time to put on our thinking caps, at least for me anyway. I have to really concentrate intently over the last few weeks. We're the seventh part of a 10-part series on the will of God. Is it possible to know the will of God? How does God reveal his will to us? Is he interested in every detail of our lives? We've been talking about this now for now the seventh week with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. Good morning, Gidi.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're with us again.
Thank you.
It's been an interesting discussion, and as I drive home after these discussions, I find myself thinking about it quite a bit. And we're going on to the seventh part. We've been talking about free will. Is God's will inevitable no matter what we do? I mean, a lot of interesting questions. This one is, if human free will exists, all right, so we have free will, how does God's sovereignty and human free will interact? I first of all, explain the question.
Yes, I will. I was just thinking, you know, better minds than ours have tried to figure this out and
right.
have not come to an agreement on it.
It's always a good point that Gidi, despite being having a master's degree in Christian studies and being a working for The Growing Place as helping with marriage and family therapy issues for couples and people, individuals, we don't know the will of God. She doesn't know it. You know,
well,
any more
we,
than
we know what we know.
We know what we know, but we don't speak for God.
No,
right.
Absolutely
right.
Not. And some of the greatest minds that God ever created have tackled this question that we're going to talk about.
Well, the question is for me is interesting. I mean, if human free will exists, which I think we get past that, how do God's sovereignty and human free will interact?
Yes.
Okay, God's sovereignty. Explain that.
Okay, God's sovereignty means that He is Almighty. It means that there is no situation in which he cannot intervene, that he could not override. In other words, even though he may give some of his creatures free will, they're not ruled by instinct. They can actually make choices. He does not give up his character. And one characteristic of God is that he's sovereign. He rules over everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that.
And so So even though we do have free will, at any minute, our free will can be taken away from us.
God can overrule it at any minute, and I hope if I'm going in the wrong direction, he will.
Yeah, okay.
So he would, you know, God uses his sovereignty because of we know his character.
Mm-hmm.
God always uses his sovereignty for that which is good,
so
even when it doesn't look like it is.
It's worth this rediscussing some of the things we talked about earlier, which is one, why God would give us a free will, give us the free will to sin, to leave that path available to us when he knows that if we take that path, it leads to eternal damnation. Why would he even leave that open for us if he loves us and cares about us? Why does he even give us that option?
That's a great question, and that kind of leads into our next question that we're going to talk about next week. But I believe that because he made us in his image and likeness, and he has freedom to make choices, and we're made in his image and likeness, he's given us the ability to make choices so that we can, of our own free will, choose to love him, choose to follow him. That's why I believe in the sinless world, in the Garden of Eden, that one tree was put, the one forbidden tree, the knowledge of good and evil, so that humankind could choose God instead of being instinctually hardwired to, like a robot, to do what God wants. And I believe he's created that so that we can love. Because in my opinion, without freedom, there is no love. You can't force someone to love you. They have to want to love you. And God wanted us to love him.
You know, I came across a story last week in the news where a person in Sacramento had, in Placer County, was in a car, and there was a sign up, and it said, "Don't go through flooding. You know, don't go here."
Mm-hmm.
And they chose to go there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Their car drifted off. Man escaped. but his passenger drowned.
Oh,
horrible story.
Sad.
And I thought about that, and I thought, well, that's kind of what God does to us. He leaves.
Yes.
He puts up a big barrier. Don't go here. Don't do this. Don't go here. But if you do, the consequences could be very bad for you.
Yes.
And so don't go around the route. Don't go around the detour. Don't sin. Don't take that path because it could lead to death and destruction.
Right.
It might not necessarily will, but it can. And I tried to equate that and try to say maybe that's what God has done for us. He's left a path open for us, even though there is a sign that says, don't go here.
Mm-hmm.
You can if you really, really want to. You mm-hmm. could break that barrier and go there if mm-hmm. you want.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful example.
Right.
And so the Ten Commandments are kind of like that sign. Mm-hmm. Don't go here. What the Lord said to Adam and Eve before the fall, don't eat this tree. Now, he could have set up a garden in which there was no possibility for them to do wrong, mm-hmm. but he didn't want that kind of creature.
Yeah. I find that to be the case, too, with my children. I want them to love me just because they love me, not because I rule with an iron fist and say, you must do this, you must love me. I want them to come to me because they want to.
Yes.
And that is how it does make sense.
It does. But the tricky part for me is then, when does God overrule our free will? How does that look? What does that interaction look like?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the hard part, and that's what the theologians... Now, there are some who believe that everything that happens is God's will. So if a person goes wrong, he was created as a vessel of destruction for damnation. If a person goes right, it was all grace and he really had nothing to do with it. There is that school of thought as well.
If human free will exists, how do God's sovereignty and human free will interact? We'll continue our discussion with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place right after this break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up.
All right, Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. If you have issues involving relationship issues with your marriage or perhaps problems with your children, maybe you're suffering depression or you have some sort of addictions, The Growing Place is located on East Avenue. Their phone number is 588-0448, 588-0448. You can also learn more about The Growing Place at tgplace.com, tgplace.com. Gidi and I have been talking about the will of God for the last few weeks, and today we're talking about how God's sovereignty and human free will interact. And I'll let you pick it up from there.
Yes, you know, oftentimes people who've had a dramatic conversion experience, who didn't grow up in the church and dramatically meet up with the Lord like Paul did on the road to Damascus, they will often say, you know, God just zapped me, or I had no choice, or I knew this was the way I had to go. I didn't even want to go any other way. But I believe personally, even at the moment of conversion, for those who can point to a moment, they could have walked away from it. And why do I say that? Is because I've known people who have.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That God has intervened, that God has shown himself, that God has shown them hell, that God has taken them to the gates of hell and warned them, if you continue in this path, that's where you're going to end up. They've actually reported this to me personally. I didn't read this in a book.
So were these dreams that they had, or were they?
No, they were living visions. One was a near-death experience, mm-hmm. and other ones just say they had an encounter with God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they go back to their old ways.
But don't we all, to some degree, go back to our old ways?
We do. All I'm saying with this is that conversion, in my opinion, is not an automatic zap. That even in the moment of conversion, God leaves a choice.
But the choice is always going to, because the choice will always end up being, we're going to choose sin. Ultimately, that will always be the case. We will always, no matter what our best efforts are, sin will always, win.
That's a beautiful question, and St. Paul grapples with that in Romans mm-hmm. chapter 7.
Yeah, he does.
And he talks about a dichotomy of himself. Mm-hmm. He says, with my mind, I choose God, and I choose the things of God, but my body, my flesh, is bent towards sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who can rescue me from this body of death? Well, if we read on to the next chapter, we see that we have a Savior in Christ. So I believe that when Christ and the Holy Spirit come into us, we have a much better chance of siding with God and choosing the Spirit of God.
But having said that, the sin still enters. Because
it does.
Even though you choose God, even though you say, I want to walk with Jesus through the rest of my life.
And that's all we're talking about here is our choices.
Okay.
I'm not talking about perfection. I don't believe we can 100% choose never to sin in this life and then we never sin.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe a part of us can choose righteousness and following God. And we have this weakness, this body that mm-hmm. God understands. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the one who with his mind is choosing sin and evil, even after an encounter with Christ.
Okay, but let's say we've all had an encounter with Christ. That
yes.
doesn't mean you stop sinning.
No. We're talking about choices, not actions. We're not talking about, okay, I've had this conversion experience. I've come to the Lord. Now I never sin again. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I've chosen the Lord as my Lord and Savior.
Right.
I've submitted my life to him. I've received his Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. In my opinion, even that isn't automatic. There is a choice involved at that moment that God appears to the person or mm-hmm. however touches or reveals himself to that person.
Okay.
So God, in my opinion, I know others would disagree and very great theologians have disagreed. This is what I believe, and I have scriptures to back it, is that, you know, God never takes away our free will. He never overuses his sovereignty in such a way as to eliminate our ability to choose him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I believe.
It seems, though, that when you do sin, when you commit a sin and you know it's wrong, You go back to him and you say, I wish I didn't sin, but then again you sin. And you find yourself, if not for sin, it sounds like an excuse, you don't go back to Jesus. Because if there was no sin, there would be no need to have a relationship with Jesus. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah. We definitely, if we didn't sin, we would be in the garden and we wouldn't need a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, but we do need a Savior. We do need Christ. And even in the scenario you just painted, we sin and we choose to go back. That's the choice I'm talking about.
I see. Okay.
We still have choice.
It's the desire. It's the desire.
It's the intention of the heart. It's the intention.
Of the heart. And
yeah.
And that's the one thing. I always say this. Nobody ever really knows anybody. God does, and you do. I mean, I like to think I know my wife and my two kids really well, but even then there's things I don't really know about them.
No, I don't even know myself the way God knows me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when he puts me to the test, then I know a little more about myself than I knew before.
But if you know in your heart, you wish you could just say, you know what, I don't want this sin in my life. And if I had the power to just hit a button and make those desires, those impulses go away, I would push that button in a heartbeat. Is that what God wants? Our desire to make it go away. We're going to go to a break. We'll wrap up this discussion with Gidi Hansen. If human free will exists, how do God's sovereignty and human free will interact? We'll be right back after this short timeout.
We've come a long, long way together. Through the hard times.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
After celebration.
This is Live Local Talk.
Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, if you'd like to give her a call or someone there if you're looking for some counseling, call 588-0448, 588-0448, tgplace.com. Best way I find to understand these, what I think are complex questions, is to use an example. In this case, we're talking about if human free will exists, how do God's sovereignty and human free will interact? And Gidi had the perfect...
I was just looking in the scriptures, and I thought of the prophet Jonah from the Old Testament. He's a beautiful example. God told him, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. And of his own free will, Jonah said, no, I'm not. And he took off in the opposite direction for Tarshish, which is Spain. He got in a boat to go there, going across the Mediterranean, and there was a terrific storm. And somehow or another, the people on the boat knew that the storm was a divine act and there was somebody on board that God was angry with. And then Jonah stepped forward and said, it's me. And they said, how are we going to get this storm to go away? And Jonah said, just throw me overboard. Just pick me up and throw me overboard. And you all, you know, you'll be fine. It's me that he's after. And so he goes through this incredible experience and being swallowed by that great fish and all of that, and then God says again, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach.
Well, one of the questions, go ahead.
And then he goes and he preaches, but he's so upset with God. I actually heard one therapist say that he was bipolar, that Jonah was bipolar, because he would be really, really up and he'd be really, really down. When he went to Nineveh and preached, he was so happy, you know, and this shade plant grew over him, and he was so delighted, and he sat up on this high ridge to see the destruction. Mm-hmm. And then God sent a worm that killed the gourd, and the plant died, and now he's upset, and he's angry, and he's really depressed. He's depressed enough to die. And then God teaches him the lesson that God wanted him to learn, that people are more important than his own comfort. But in all of that, there's a beautiful interaction of the sovereignty of God and human free will.
I see exactly what you're saying with that example. The issue, though, sometimes we don't know if God is talking to us. And do we know in the Bible, was this Jonah just telling the story like we would tell it and say, well, God told me this, and it was... Or did God make his presence known to Jonah and say, we want you to go to Nineveh, we want you to preach this, we want you to do this? Was that made crystal clear to him as though you're seeing it on a TV screen? That's him telling us.
I cannot answer the question for Jonah, but I can answer it for myself. Mm-hmm. Walking in relationship with God, the closer we walk with him, the more clearly we hear him. And he can speak in a myriad of ways. I think maybe once in my life I've heard his voice audibly. Mm. All the other times when I say God spoke to me, it was in a myriad of different ways. It could just be a knowing in my spirit. It could be through a scripture. It could be through nature. Remember what St. Teresa of Avila said about the ring, the signet ring and the warm wax. She talked about God pressing his will or his message on a person's soul, and if that person's soul is soft like warm wax, they will receive a complete impression of what God wants from them. And so we call it now in modern language, God downloaded a whole book in an instant. Mm-hmm. It's that impression you can have. He can speak through the church, through the Bible. I mean, he can speak through a stranger, a child. So that's how I've experienced it. I've never had a face-to-face with him where I see him and he's talking to me, as it says he talked to Moses mouth-to-mouth, where I audibly heard him. But over the years, he's taught me how to walk with him so that I can hear him.
So there are biblical, you see, I always think it'd be much easier. You know, God just showed himself right to you and you
then
see him.
There would be no faith element, and God wants us to come to him through faith.
But he did reveal himself to Moses.
He did.
Clearly. Because it was obviously a big deal.
He did in it through the burning bush, and then he let Moses see his back.
Mm-hmm.
He somehow conversed with Moses, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ten Commandments were audible. They heard it, and they quaked and shaked the Israelites, mm-hmm. and they said, oh, talk to Moses, don't talk to us. This is too scary.
Do you think there's going to come a time in our future, in our lives, or anybody's life, where we're going to see that again?
I think we will be face to face with Christ on Judgment Day, if at no other time before then.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be very, very clear.
Yeah, some people think that we're getting closer and closer to that day when God's sovereignty will just take control and he's
I believe so too. But I think even in that, he will leave room for human free will until it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's over, it's over, and the judgment comes.
This really is the question we talk, just in a bigger picture, the will of God. It's kind of the centerpiece of what we struggle with as Christians, knowing what his will is, exactly what to do, because so much of it is just kind of following a map, and once in a while you go through this door, and that leads to a different door, and it circles around.
Oh, Jerry, that's a beautiful example, because Jesus said, follow me,
mm-hmm.
Not a map, and yet that's exactly what we do, is what you just described,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's why we get confused.
But how do we know, though, whether that's the problem? Maybe
through the relationship we have with him. We have to develop relationship. We can't expect a dove to fly down from heaven with the will of God in his beak.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to have relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. Although there are times, and I've enjoyed talking about this with, this is our seventh week in a 10-part series on the will of God. There have been times where God makes his message more clear to us at
yes,
other times.
Yes, he does.
And it's happened to me in my life.
He does, of his goodness and his mercy. But if we were aware and we were mindful of him, we would know every moment that he is present.
Okay. Well, Gidi, thanks so much. Interesting discussion,
pleasure.
As always. Next week, Gidi and I will be discussing what does it mean to be made in the image and likeness of God? Boy, I was just about to ask that question before the music came up, and we're going to talk about that next Wednesday. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.